Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Hi, Jim. Here we are, Fridays together, and a very pleasant day in the weather department out there.
Yes, after a very stormy day with strong winds.
Yeah.
Fall is here.
It is, yeah.
On the prairies, Regina today, 27 degrees Celsius.
That's warm.
That's warm. But I know for my life on the prairies, if the fall is nice, warm, and pleasant, when winter arrives, it's usually a blizzard.
Right. They owe you an average winter, and so then the next blast comes in, gets, for a while, probably cooler than normal.
Yeah. Late 70s, Winnipeg was hit by a killer blizzard that happened 3 days after it was so warm we were playing football in T-shirts and shorts. Like on the 1st or 2nd of November.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when the storms of November come early on the prairies, they're not nice.
Yeah.
To quote our most famous singer who sings about sinking freighters. We have several questions to get to today, Bob. They're all from Michael. Well, thank you, Michael, for all these questions. His first one, hello, Bob and Jim. Zero hedge headline, China reloads monetary bazooka with record cut to one-year policy rate, but everyone waiting for fiscal fire hose. Bob, I thought fire hoses were used to put out fires, not spray gasoline on them. Why would the Chinese government want to ignite even higher inflation? And what can a fiscal fire hose do to ignite the economy when there's no oxygen left to burn in our over-indebted economies? Bob, I'm confused. Will the era of monetary bazookas ever end?
What a good question. Yeah. The key in this one is that the Chinese are lowering rates, and that's not going to prompt inflation. And it's not going to prompt an extension to the financial boom. What it is that in a great financial bubble, stocks go up, get overinflated, and also the economy firms up with it. And then in normal business cycles, typically the stock market peaks about 7 months before the economy does. This is why they put the S&P 500 in the list of leading indicators. But this is not the case when you're in financial asset inflation, where when the financial asset inflation stops, so does the economy, more or less in the same month. So this is the point, is that falling short rates are determined by market forces and best monitored by the 3 or 6 month Treasury bill in the senior economy. And it's been heading down for a couple of months now. And when it rolled over 5 or 6 weeks ago, we thought that by late October, the Fed would celebrate its first rate cut. But disasters are accompanied by T-bill rates going down and the Federal Reserve following with Fed cuts. And if you take a look at the evidence on charts, T-bill rates going up says the party is on. T-bill rates going down and the Fed following says the party is off. You get your worst. Well, we've got a chart here, S&P and the 3 month T-bill, and the fastest plunges in both have happened together. So, yeah, the T-bill rate has rolled over. The Fed has made, and the Bank of Canada has made a rate cut, and that spells disaster. So, I don't expect anything out of the markets. Now, about fiscal fire hoses, no, the cutting of rates is following the T-bill rate, and it's tracking the decline. So, there's the no monetary bazookas will work or anything like that. So, yeah. So then he's got another question here.
Yes. The other question for Bob, has the U.S. dollar bottomed, and is it time to go long with the U.S. dollar? Financial pundits are advising to get out of the U.S. buck and buy commodities and uranium shares in anticipation of the AI revolution and an impending commodity boom. But what if deflation takes hold? Bob, what's going on here?
Your second question, what if deflation takes hold? And this is what it is. Since the development of a stock market in London in the late 1690s, it was the start of the modern world. Also in 1694, the the Bank of England was formed. So, then also in 1692, a guy by the name of John Houghton started publishing a stock market letter. So, hey, by the late 1600s, the modern world of finance had arrived. You had a central bank of issue, and you had a financial market letter writer. Hey, does it get any better? So, anyways, the senior currency tendency is that once a great bubble is over, then the senior currency firms. Because you're going into a deflationary environment. So we're expecting the U.S. dollar to go up, and it is technically, it got pretty beat up at that 101.40 level, and there was support there. And I think it could take maybe another 4 or 5 weeks to base, and then I think we can get a nice intermediate rally out of the U.S. dollar.
Now, we have a third question from our friend Michael. Bob, is it still a good time to go into 3 to 4 year treasury and corporate bonds given the interest rates have already come down?
Well, that's the point of the recommendation is 3 to 4 year good grade corporates. You have to be dealing with a pretty good bond desk to get the good prices on those, or failing that, treasuries or Government Canada's. But the reason for going for good grade corporates is you're going to get a higher yield. And if they mature at par in 3 or 4 years, you're going to be protected from price problems. So yeah, it's a nice place to be in a storm.
And we have a third question from Rich B. And I think the B stands for a word that rhymes with ditch. Anyway, from Rich B., Bob, does your list of gold mining juniors take jurisdiction into consideration? When the going gets tough, nations have been known to nationalize industries, including miners. Nationalization of a core mine would likely destroy their stock price.
Yeah, that's a good concern. Ours are essentially U.S., Canada, and Mexico, the list. And so far... it's a reasonable place to be involved in mining exploration work. And also, with a contraction coming in, intrusion by governments could diminish quite a bit. So countries may turn to encouraging business rather than discouraging. And then when gold's real price has been going up. That's either deflated by the CPI inflation or deflated by commodity prices. Gold has been outperforming commodities, and we use commodities as a proxy for the cost of mining. So if the cost of mining is declining relative to the bullion price, the miners are making money, and this has been going on now for about 7 or 8 months. So any mines in operation now Well, you know, things may change from one mine to another, but generally, the costs of mining have not been rising with the rise in the price of gold. It's kind of a happy world, isn't it?
Well, now we've got all the questions out of the way, Bob. We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye this week right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye today. The first one, U.S. stocks whipsawed in the aftermath of the Fed's 50 basis point cut.
Yeah, the street celebrated it, and then maybe some other discouragement came along and they whacked it. But the S&P has been quite choppy lately, although still in the seasonally strong time of year, like going into September, is often a happy time for stocks.
But October, not so much.
Not so much. If it's going to go wrong, it'll go wrong in October. Let's put it that way.
Headline, China's collapsing economy adds to headwinds for Japanese automakers.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
It's hard to export cars to a country. Also, China is supporting their EV business, so they can make those electric cars really cheap. And the Japanese automakers haven't really been ahead of the curve when it comes to supplying electric cars.
Yeah. Well, the electric car mania is going to crash anyway, so.
Or take a pause. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, from Zero Hedge, nuclear names surge after Three Mile Island planned to restart to power Microsoft data centers. They need nukes to get
back. Like the story. Three Mile Island is an operating nuclear electrical power plant, and they had a tiny little glitch. There was a little bit of steam or something came out, and the anti-nuclear people just went hysterical, and so they shut it down. But no, nuclear-powered electricity is very good. It is a dense form of energy, and the efficiencies on building new new ones are kind of modular, so you can build one or two, and it doesn't take 15 years to build one with a huge pressure thing. So, nuclear generated electrical power is a great way to go.
Game changer, global mega banks prepare major support for nuclear power. So it's not just Three Mile Island, it's around the planet.
Yeah, no, as the headline says, the mega banks are gearing up to support a terrific expansion in nuclear power. I'm all for it.
Well, the trend they want to talk about now are modular atomic power plants that would power a suburb or a small city, not these mega projects that cost billions and billions.
And then you don't have great long miles and miles of power lines going across the country. You can have the power generating unit fairly close to the main user of the power. Well, hell, look at, they've been operating a nuclear powered submarine since the 1960s.
50s.
I don't know exactly when they started.
Oh, yeah, the Nautilus going under the North Pole.
Yeah. You know, if they can run it in submarines successfully, and they have, and the Three Mile Island event was not an event, it was just amplified for, you know, superstitious reasons. But, yeah, it's wonderful, and the point is to have a dense source of power, and that you can run the thing day and night. You're not relying on intermittent wind or sunshine or whatever. Good way to go.
Well, there's a headline here. The U.S. Navy says a Chinese nuclear-powered submarine sank this year. It's a newest model that was under construction. Somehow, I think somebody left a valve open somewhere.
Yeah, and Yeah, I think if you're at depth and you get a failure, it's instantaneous death. You don't know what hit you.
Yeah, and below 100 feet, you can't get out either. Although the Russians and Americans both cooperated in the design of a rescue submarine that would latch onto the escape hatches and would be compatible. But yeah. I don't know if the Chinese are part of that little agreement that will help rescue your sailors.
Yeah.
Last full-size Kmart shuts down permanently in the U.S.
Yeah, of course, they're a budget-oriented pricing retail outlet, and the whole world is changing. These are costly things to operate as compared to buying something out of the Internet. I just ordered some stuff this morning. Jim, I wear black cotton T-shirts all the time, so I ordered six. Half a dozen, can you imagine? And they'll be delivered tomorrow to my place. For $2 more, they would have delivered them today. So this is where box stores are going to be difficult.
Costco reported that their revenues were down, but their profits were up. That's the one big box store where, because there's just so much stuff there.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone into a Costco and spent less than $120?
I haven't been to a Costco in ages, but I loved going to them.
And that's the case where the eye candy is right there.
Yeah.
It's so hard to resist.
Oh, eye candy for any eye. Yes, anything.
And everything from socks to telescopes.
Yeah.
Bought my sister a nice telescope there. It was $300 less than the telescope center.
Yeah,
for the same
no, I've
model.
Got a essentially a handheld telescope. It's 12 power, and that's enough magnification that you get quite a field of move if you move your hand. So I've got the kind that's got the screw thing underneath it, and I've got it on a pole so that it provides the stability. And when I go out on my deck and use it, it's all steady. And 12 power is pretty good under that. I would sooner had 10 power, but I couldn't find the right telescope then.
Oh, and we have another headline that just came here. It's from Breitbart. Shock, consumer confidence unexpectedly plummets, worst decline in 3 years.
Yeah, the key word in that headline is plummets. So they're all making brave noises about the U.S. economy. But you get individual sectors or items that plummet or collapse. I don't know. I saved a few of them, but plummet and collapse or crash. They've been using those not on the big market, but on certain price series where you come in with lower than what the street was expecting. So.
The U.S. economy is all about consumer spending, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to have the consumer. Unless it's the government consuming on your behalf.
Yes. Americans and Gadgets, my American buddy when I was in junior high school, he had three times as many gadgets as I had because he just moved to Canada, stuff I'd never seen before.
Oh.
And he said, I left half of them back in Utah.
Yeah.
Just, they're gizmo crazy, and that's what makes the world go round.
Yeah, well, people like to buy things when they can.
And
then when you get into a contraction, they can't, and they hunker right down. So that could happen sometime, but all we know is that going into September, it's often good for the stock market.
And American retailers, when they just suddenly move up to Canada without doing a lot of research, they expect Canadians to spend at the same level as Americans. We don't have the same available cash because we have much higher taxes.
Oh, yeah. No. Canada's affordability index is very low relative to the U.S. Yeah.
And we don't have the number of billionaires that they have, or millionaires.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I think even if you did it on a per capita basis, it's still not going to be anything near.
Look at all the millionaires in Seattle, because the original Microsoft workers worked for shares instead of actual pay.
Yeah.
So in a few years, they were all millionaires, at least on paper.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is they continued to work for their salaries and held on to those shares.
That's admirable, isn't it?
Bob, thank you so much for being on the show.
Good to be with you, Jim, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask those questions for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.